This morning, we're going to be taking a brief exodus from the book of Exodus, and Darren will pick that up next week. Thanks for that mild chuckle. That wasn't supposed to be hilarious, but I do appreciate the... You know, we're going to talk about love today. I don't know if you gathered from the songs that Grant was singing, but most of them were about love, mentioned love. And as the song from years ago, those of you who are younger probably don't remember this, but remember this one? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Okay, give yourself a hand. That was good. Let's turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. That is where our main text will be coming from today. I'd like to start with 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our own hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. When John opens his book of 1 John or starts writing, he wants the people to know what I'm about to tell you. I am an expert at this. I know what I'm talking about because I was with Jesus. I saw him. I saw what he did. I heard what he said. I touched him. I know all about him. And I can tell you with confidence what Jesus talked about while he was here on the earth. And I'm going to tell you that, he says. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Now, if you're familiar with the book of 1 John, you know that a lot of what John talks about is the word love. He talks about that a great deal. In fact, you know, if you look throughout the Bible, there's a lot of people that talk about the word love. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, one of the famous love passage. The Apostle Paul there writes, beginning in verse 4, love is patient, love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love what? Love never fails. Okay, so love is always there. It's going to be and can be the one constant that needs to be in the church. It needs to be in our society. It needs to be in our homes. Love is a very important topic for us. Back in the early 90s, I think it was, my daughter, who was, you know, probably 5 or 6 at the time, was really interested, might have been older than that, but was really interested in a group called DC Talk. Anybody ever heard of them? DC Talk? Okay. My wife and a couple others. And I got to listening to DC Talk, and they had some really good songs, and my favorite one of theirs is called Love is a Verb. Love is a Verb. And it goes something like this. Hey, tell me, haven't you heard? Love is a serious word. Hey, I think it's time you learned. I don't care what you say, I don't care what you heard. The word love, love is a verb. Okay. Thank you. Now that was kind of a hip-hop rap song, And in case you were wondering what that was, that's a 60-year-old white guy's version of a rap move, okay? So that's what that was. But their idea, and if you read the verses of that song, you know that they talk about love not just being a feeling, love just not being an emotion, but love that has to take action of some kind. Love is a verb. A verb connotes what? Denotes? Action, okay? Okay, very good. And so, if we look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, this is our main verse today, but we'll be looking at many others. John there writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." And so John writes that. These are the words that he's learned from Jesus. And if we look back in the Gospel of John, the same writer that wrote the Gospel of John wrote 1 John. We look back in chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. We find Jesus saying this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's one of the keystones of Christianity. Love. It's got to be there, or Christianity isn't what it should be. And love, as the song goes, and as we're going to read here in a few minutes, love is something that has to be a love in action. It's got to be a doing kind of love. If we go a couple of chapters forward in 1 John and go to chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. "Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes the heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us love not with words or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." Indeed and in truth. Love has to have action to it. I see someone, a beggar, in need of food, and I'm sorry, maybe my heart is hardened, and if it is, I pray that God will unharden it. But people that are standing in intersections off the freeway, I've seen some of them in action before. We were in Portland one time up at Gleason Road exit, and there was a guy on his crutches and a big basket in front of him. And we pulled up, and I'm thinking, man, this guy looks pretty convincing. And it's almost as if the time clock rang, or he realized, oh, there's somewhere I've got to be. He walked over to a van on a side street, handed the crutches to another guy, and the guy started walking. The light turned green. I was glad to get out of there. But the guy started walking with the crutches, and I imagine within a few minutes he was there just like his friend. Okay, there are a lot of people that are hucksters, if you will, shysters. A lot of people that don't really deserve our help because they're just playing off of our goodwill. I guess I'm not talking about those kind of people. But I'm talking about people that really sincerely need the help. The verse says that if we see someone, a brother in need, and we close our heart against him, God's love can't abide in us. God's love doesn't abide in us. But we've got to love with deed and in truth. Now if we go to James, James says kind of the same thing in James chapter 2, verse 14. "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you say to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary for their body. What use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Same can be said about love. It's got to be a love that does some kind of work. And why isn't warm, fluffy, fuzzy, happy talk good enough? Roger, I love you, man. You know, Roger's always at the door when we come in, and he always, not always, but most times, looks at me, big smile on his face, and says, "Hey, there's a ray of sunshine," okay? And, of course, my last name's Ray. You get the connection, I think. And that's all well and good. And if that was the only thing that Roger ever did, we would say, that Roger is a loving guy, in word only. Because, okay, he holds the door open for me. That's good. But if he never reached out to help me in some way, and yet I know through the grapevine that Roger does a lot of good things. And so Roger is one that has proved himself to be a lover, if you will, not only in word, with the ray of sunshine and all of that, but in his deeds also. He's a man that sees a need and wants to fulfill it. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. If we look in 1 John chapter 3, we see that example of love actually from the Father, from God. He's the one that gives us the great example. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. And then let's jump to verse 16. We know a love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then in chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, by this the love of God was manifested to us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God, in wanting to set the example for us because of his great love for us, he showed us what true love is like, and that he sent his Son to die on our behalf on the cross. God didn't owe that to us. He owed us punishment. Because the wages of sin is death, and we've all sinned, therefore we're all deserving of death. But he sent Jesus, had him to die on the cross, so that we might have the chance of eternal life. That's love. Pam and I have a mixed family of two sons and a daughter. And people, you know, a lot of times say, "Oh, I bet you really love your daughter." And I really do. But they might think that I love Christopher and James maybe just a little less, because they're my stepsons, but that couldn't be farther from the truth. I love them just as much. I love them all equally the same. And if I was asked to give up any of them for you, sorry, you're a goner. Okay? It's not going to happen. Because I love my children so much. But yet God, in his infinite love, could see past all of that and could see the need, our need, the need that we had to live with him eternally. And he provided the way by giving his Son. That's love in action. That's love that expresses a lot of that love, that expresses true love. And so, God's love, I guess, his love protects us from that logical consequence of justice. If we look to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned again and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation through His blood. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed." Again, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so love, again, a great and wonderful thing. Love requires action, requires a response on our part. And some people tend to get, though, a little carried away with love, in that they might start to love the wrong things. It might be a misguided love. And so John, in his first epistle, 1 John, that we're mostly in today, in chapter 2, beginning of verse 15, writes this: "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all this that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." Jesus said kind of the same thing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." God and mammon, depending on your translation. God and riches. Those two just don't really go together easily. It's not wrong to be wealthy. It's not wrong to be well off. It all depends on what you do with that. If you are constantly engaged in helping yourself, buying the new car every other year, or going on, you know, exotic trips to wherever exotic trips take place, maybe Tahiti or I don't know, place of your choice, and yet there are people around you that need your help, maybe it's not even going to take money out of your pocket. Maybe it's just going to take a little bit of your time. And you don't have the inclination to help them. God's going to look at that and say, "Oop, that one loves the world more than he loves me." We've got to be very careful about the things we do with our money, the things we do with our time. Because God's going to look and to judge whether we are more dedicated to the world and the things of the world than we are to Him. And so, as John writes in 1 John, loving one another expresses the relationship we have with God. Jesus said it first in John 13:35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And John picks that up again in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 19. "We love because He first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. And the one who does not, for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." And so I guess this whole discussion of love kind of all boils down to this in 1 John chapter 2. Beginning in verse 3, "By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of the Lord has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same manner as He walked." 2 John says this, chapter 6, or verse 6, "And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from Him in the beginning, that you should walk in it." And so the commandments, what do the commandments say? What do the commandments do? Well, Jesus expressed a commandment when He was walking throughout Galilee and and other places, and people would come up to him with ailments, with sicknesses, with disease, and they would cry out to him, "Heal me, Lord. Lord, have mercy on me." I'm sure Jesus got tired of doing that. You know? I know I would. Well, of course, I'm not Jesus. But he would stop. Didn't matter really what he was doing. He would stop. You know, whatever is healed, go and sin no more. Jesus was constantly stopping. I'm sure he had an agenda. He had places to go. He had things he wanted to do. But he stopped to help people in need. That's the kind of person Jesus is. That's the kind of person we need to be watching out, or be looking at their example on how to live. And so, again, the words, "Hey, tell me, haven't you heard?" Love is a serious word. "Hey, I think it's time you learned." Okay, I'm going to do it one more time here. "I don't care what you say. I don't care what you heard. The word love. Love is a verb." Okay? Let's take that with us today as we go from here and realize that there's more to love than just expressing sentiment of goodwill toward one another. If we're truly going to show love to God and love for one another, as 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Maybe some are in our audience today who don't know Christ and need to show that love toward God and toward His Son who died for us. And if you would desire to become a child of God today, to be buried in the waters of baptism, to be raised in newness of life, this is a perfect time. If you need prayers of this group, whatever your need might be, won't you please come as we stand together and sing.